Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements before we open up with a word of prayer. We had 31 in Sunday school this morning, which continue to encourage everyone. If you're not involved in our Sunday school, please consider coming and getting involved in one of the many classes that we do have. We have classes for all ages, and it's a good time to fellowship, but also, most importantly, it's a good time to learn God. Learn about God. So I want to encourage everyone to continue and to encourage others to come. It's time to start collecting school supplies for the students at Wiggum School. There's an insert in your bulletin. This is the list of items needed: pencils, notebook paper, Crayola, crayons, glue sticks, scissors, dry erase markers, Kleenex, Clorox wipes. And if you can have them here by Sunday, August the 4th, then we'll get them delivered to Wiggum School. So that's a ministry that we've been supporting for several years now. I want to encourage you, if you will, go ahead and get these items and get them to us, and we'll get them to the school. July the 18th at 6:30 p.m., that's this Thursday, Grady County Baptist Association men's meeting at Midway Baptist Church. If you'd like to ride together, men, young men and boys, just meet here at the church around 6, and we can go together, or you can just meet us there at Midway. Easy to find. Just go by Grady General, about 2 miles out, and it's on the left. You'll see the big sign. July the 23rd, at 6:30 p.m., is the Titus II Women's Ministry meeting. The 25th at 7 o'clock is Standing in the Gap men's meeting. And don't forget, Sunday, July 28th, back to school fellowship meal immediately after the evening services. Please remember that. We'll have more announcements about that. But that'll be a fellowship meal that has been planned. I know the kids don't want to hear it, but celebrate the kids going back to school. The parents are the ones going to give me the thumbs up here. And please plan on attending that. We'll have a good time of fellowship. Any other announcements?
We do have on the 31st, that means night, we'll do prayer walk at Wiggum School.
Yes, we'll get that in the bulletin too. The annual prayer walk is the 31st at 7. We'll just meet at the school in front of the Wiggum School at 7 p.m. to do our prayer walk and prayer time to start off the new school year. So please mark your calendars for that. Any other announcements? Birthdays. Elizabeth,
Lorraine, and Elena, and Lorraine.
And Elizabeth.
And Miss Linda Hall.
All right. We got to
July was a busy month. Apparently.
Well, let's sing happy birthday to Elizabeth, Lorraine, and Miss Linda.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Do remember Miss Linda Hall. I believe she has COVID today, so I just Brother Tim shared that with me. So continue to lift her and Jan and Philip and the rest of the family up in your prayers. Larry said, Larry Hunter's been on my prayer list, a friend of Larry McDaniel and Donna, and I believe they've called hospice in him, so we want to lift him up also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord, and Lord, we thank you for the past Sunday school hour, Lord. And Lord, we do just want to lift up Miss Linda and Larry Hunter to you today, Lord, as they are suffering today, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, we know that you'll be with them and comfort them today, Lord. But Lord, we just want to come today, Lord, just glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ and worshiping him today, Lord. Lord, I know that there are many distractions going on, many things out there in the world that will distract us from Jesus Christ, Lord, whether it's politics or disasters or things that happen around the world, even in our community, Lord. Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that as we gather here today, Lord, that we just remove all those distractions, Lord. They are important, I know, Lord, but worshiping you is the most important thing, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we'll do that. We just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord. Lord, let us not only just be hearers, Lord, but let us be doers of your word. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
Well, our call to worship this morning will be hymn 379. Brethren, we have met to worship. Let's all stand and sing and smile as we worship the Lord in song.
that will be Glory Hymn 520.
Thank you.
take vows this morning. We're going to be looking in Proverbs, but before we get to Proverbs, we're going to start out in Genesis. We are going through a series in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is about wisdom. It's about doing things God's way. It's about learning in life that what honors God is the best way to do everything, anything and everything in life. Today we're going to talk about a subject we're going to start on this morning and finish it up this evening. So if you want to catch part one this morning, come back and catch part two this evening. Work. Work is the subject today for this morning and tonight. How many of you love to work? I know we're in church. Y'all are really struggling to tell the truth. Our nation has a mixed view on work. Some people work 60, 70, 80 hours a week trying to get ahead. They want to end up life at least having more than Sally and Fred did. Some people work from the perspective as they work Monday through Friday just so they can live on the weekend. We have a mentality in our nation that you're kind of either one or the other, and I guess you can kind of be in between, where, you know, you work and work and work. When I worked at the sawmill, there was many, many months I would be number one on overtime. I work trying to get ahead. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, yes and no. Because in doing so, I missed out on a lot of my kids growing up because I worked night shift, and many times I'd go in 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, wouldn't get off till 5, 6, 7 o'clock the next morning. And by that time, my wife and kids are up and gone, you know, to work or to school. And so I understand the mentality, but then we have a mentality of people who want to work, but the only reason they want to work is so that they can pleasure themselves with the things of the world. Now, God has given us all things to enjoy, okay? There's nothing wrong with taking vacation. There's nothing wrong with doing activities and going camping or fishing or hunting or whatever. But when we make that a priority over God, then it becomes a problem. I think God gives us His Word to help guide us in making our priorities the correct priorities. And so as we look at these this morning, I want us to realize first and foremost that from the very beginning, it was God's intent that man or woman should work. Okay? Why? Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you realize that when God was creating, He was what? He was working. Right? God works. And even today, God is busy upholding everything in His hand. He is still in control. He is still making sure that the birds have food and that you and I have food and that the universe and the earth and the moon and the sun and the planets and the stars all stay where they're supposed to be till He says otherwise. He is keeping all things. He is busy. But in creation itself, God worked 6 days, and on the seventh, He rested. Sometimes we get upset when we have to work 5 days and have 2 days off. Right? When we look at God's Word, we realize that from the very beginning, God created in Genesis chapter 1, we find in verse 28 that God had created man, and then He gave him responsibility, okay?
It says in verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. Now, I want to look at two words right here. The word subdue, what does it mean? It means to bring into submission. That was a responsibility. That was his duties. But then it also says to have dominion. Now, that means to rule over it. One of the very first jobs that God gave Adam was to do what? To name all them animals. Now, I'm going to tell you something that just blows evolutionists' mind. They tell us that we are smarter now than early man was, right? How in the world could Adam think of all them names if he was just a caveman beating sticks on the wall? I couldn't think of all them names. Amen? What do you call a lizard or a frog or a mosquito or whatever? And yet Adam, everything God brought before Adam to name Adam, named. He didn't say, God, I am tired of doing this, you do it yourself. He didn't say, God, I've been doing this all morning, when is my break? Lord, I need to go smoke a cigarette. I need to go make a phone call. He didn't. He worked. It was a joy for him to work. The curse did not come in until Adam and Eve ate of the fruit they were not supposed to eat of. God gave Adam a job. And the first job of the naming him was to tend and keep the garden. I mean, he wasn't out there with a shovel or a hoe, knocking down weeds or briars. That came in chapter 3 after the fall. He just simply had to go along when the fruit got ripe, he pulled it off and ate it, right? He took care of what God gave him to do. Because if we are not working, we begin to do things we shouldn't do. You take the majority of the young population in the United States that does not have a job, what are they getting into? But it is the same way with men and women, no matter what age. Idle mind is the devil's playground. And you can place that in a whole lot of areas in life, but an idle mind is the devil's playground. You know, and I know this could be for a father, a mother, or, you know, a homemaker, or just in any position in life that you are in. If you are not being actively engaged in doing something constructive, the devil will plant seeds of destruction into your life. You choose how that grows. You choose how it grows. Genesis 2:15, as I said, it says that the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to tend it and keep it. In Genesis 2:19, it was Adam's first job was to name all the animals. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we found the record of the judgment that God brought against Adam because of his sin. In verse 17, it says, then the Lord, to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of the from which I have commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You see, God's original intent for work was a blessing. But we know that Satan likes to destroy blessings and turn them into curses. Every ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, work has been a curse. And one of the biggest things we find in society today is that many, many people want a payday. They want a paycheck without what? Without working for it. Does that honor God? If God's intent is for us to work, then if we're not working, are we being pleasing to God, or are we trying to work the system? We think it's a curse, and sometimes we'll do anything we can to avoid working at all. I want this morning to look at one of what I think is probably the most prominent aspect of not doing God's will in our lives. I believe the number one problem is laziness. Amen? Now, I may admit, there's times I don't want to work. Amen? We're in church, so it's okay to tell the truth, right? Sometimes we just don't feel like it. Sometimes we just feel bad. Sometimes we don't want to do it. Sometimes we procrastinate, right? So, it's pretty hot out there today. Let's wait till tomorrow. And if we keep doing that by the end of the month, the yard's going to look like about that high, and you can't cut that by head of grass if you try, It's just not going to happen. So sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we like to relax. And here again, having a day to relax should be a day we take. But that it's also a day, you look at the Sabbath day, it was a day to rest. But it was also a day to rest in who? In the Lord, in Himself. We are to honor Him during that day. Does that mean just for 2 hours a day? I'm stepping on toes. 2 hours out of the whole week. How long is a day?
24 hours.
Amen? Is it getting through? Can you hear me now? 24 hours we are to give to the Lord. But see, we have the wrong view of work oftentimes. It's an ungodly idea, and it's an ungodly attitude that we have about God. First one I want to talk about this morning is laziness. It's laziness. Proverbs has a lot to say about laziness. We're going to look at it this morning. Laziness. One of the most prevalent ungodly attitudes in our society today, as I said earlier, everyone wants a paycheck. But it seems like no one wants to work for it. We all like to relax and have time off. But it doesn't make it right. First thing I want to talk about this morning is that laziness brings poverty and scarcity. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, listen to what Solomon says. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Was he pulling punches? He was sticking right to it. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and like an armed man. You see, ants. Ants don't need a ruler. Ants don't need a king. Ants don't need a supervisor. They just go and do what they were created to do. What would happen to a mound of ants if they don't go out and gather food?
They would die.
They'll die. So the attitude here and the premise here is that if we are going to be successful, if we're going to survive, then we too must go out and work and gather what we can to survive on. So that when those hard times, because it's talking about in the gathering in the harvest time, but then so you'll have later on in the winter times. So they gather, they bring in so that in those lean times they still can feed themselves. Proverbs 20 verse 4 says the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during the harvest and have nothing. It's interesting today, and I know we live in a totally different agricultural society than what they did back then, but the premise is still the same, to where if you don't plant at the right time, you're not going to have the right kind of harvest. If you wait till August to plant your cotton, are you going to get a harvest from it? Probably not. You see, timing is everything. Timing is everything. And if we wait to go and do it, then it's not going to get done. Proverbs 26, verses 14 and 15, listen here. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl, and it wearies him to bring it to his mouth. Whew, man, that's saying a lot. You know why the lazy man is turning on the bed like a door hinge? He hadn't done anything to wear himself out. See what I mean? I know people, and you know them probably, who do nothing all day. And when they do nothing all day, they can't sleep at night, so they stay up all night watching TV, and they still can't. They take cat naps here and there throughout the day. They fall asleep 30 minutes here, 30 minutes. But they never go to bed dead tired, so to speak, because they have done nothing to wear themselves out. I've seen people, and I'm not knocking anybody, but I know people who have worked hard their whole entire life. They get to retirement age, and they start doing nothing. And what happens to their body? A lot of them will die. You see, that they've been busy for so long, and when they get to the place where they're not having to work anymore, they don't know what to do with themselves. They can't find fulfillment. But I've also seen this, that many times that people get up in age and they retire from work, they don't get committed and do stuff with the church or the community, and they sit in a house in four walls. What did I say earlier about the devil's playground? An idle mind is the devil's playground, and we need to be committed to say, listen, you can retire, but that doesn't mean you quit working. You don't have to get up and go to the job anymore, but can you still serve the Lord? Can you serve others? Can you be involved in different activities that keeps your heart, your mind, and body in check so that you can be beneficial to the Lord and to others? Lazy man. He buries his hand in the bowl. I don't know why the idea of popcorn popped into my mind as I'm reading this. But I'm thinking, you know, man so lazy, he puts his hand in the bowl, and he's so lazy, you don't even want to lift it out to eat popcorn. That's lazy. That's lazy. But laziness brings poverty and scarceness. Number two, laziness brings disgrace. In Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. I wonder why. He's not working, not doing anything. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes what? Rich. Now, does being rich mean you got to be like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates? And if you got a house over your head, food on your table, clothes on your back, a car to get around, you're richer than most of the people in the whole world. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings what? Or causes shame. Think about this for just a moment. How many of us know people who can work and won't work and won't get their family what they need? What does that do to everyone around? It brings disgrace. I thought about this in Proverbs 10:26, so you kind of go hand in hand. It says, as vinegar is to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy man to those who sin. I thought about this. I thought about a guy I used to work with at Sawmill on college day. He could do anything, but you couldn't get him to do anything. Amen. Y'all know people like that. They could do it. They'll tell you how to do everything. Right? But they won't lift their hand to do anything. I knew another man, a friend of ours. He was a jack of all trades. But he would never do anything. He'd talk your head off. A lazy person irritates those whom they work for and for those they work with. Amen. A lazy man builds poor habits. Proverbs 12:27 says, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. Let me say this before I go on to my next little thing. There's nothing wrong with going out and eating, amen? We all like this thing. But what about to the person who is too lazy to cook what they have? Now, Amy and I, over the past couple of weeks, with all the room we've been burning up, you can't cook in the car, amen? So you gotta stop somewhere, and it doesn't matter. You can stop by Hardee's or McDonald's, but she don't like McDonald's, so I don't get to eat there. But you get what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if you go to Zaxby's or Bojangles or, you know, Popeye's. If you get just a regular combo meal for an adult to eat, right? Not the best thing on the menu or the most expensive, but you just get enough to fill yourself up and her to get fill herself up, and you pay anywhere from $24 to $28. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am a cheapskate when it comes to buying groceries, okay? And I do most of the grocery shopping, but I can feed our family of five for $24 to $28 for 3 or 4 days. Amen? But I have to take the time to do what? Cook it. I have to take time to cook it. We can build poor habits in ourselves. We can build poor habits in our kids if we're not willing to take the time and the energy to even cook supper. A lazy person ends up with unfulfilled dreams and desires. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the lazy man desires and has what? Nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. The problem here is that many times the lazy never get what they want because they don't do the actions necessary to attain what they want. They tell themselves they're happy, they're satisfied, but God has given us the ability to work, amen? He's given us the ability to work so that we have satisfaction in ourselves. He wants us to be able to provide for us, for our families, and I'll get more into that in just a moment. But oftentimes, the soul of the lazy man will desire, but have nothing. They tell themselves, as I already said, that they're happy, but they will not work, so they do not get what they really want. Because they are not satisfied in doing work. Next point is simply that a lazy person leaves their home to ruin. They leave their home to ruin. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. This is what this says. You see, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And so shall your poverty come like your prowler, and your need like an armed man. You see, the wrong view will lead your house to ruin. If we're not willing to work to do the very thing God has created us to do, He's created us to work, to worship. But in the process of worshiping, there's always a gift involved, right? There's always a gift in worshiping. Because of who we worship, we realize that when He has given us everything He has given to us through His Son, Jesus, all that He has given to us just in life in general, or air, or water, or homes, everything that we have, God has given to us and entrusted us with as stewards. But as a worshiper of God, if you go back and read the whole Old Testament, you find that every time somebody came to worship God, they brought a gift. If I'm too lazy to work, if I'm not working, if I'm not bringing in income, then I have nothing to bring when I can't come before the Lord. You see, the wrong view of work will lead us to poverty, to disgrace, to bad habits, to unfulfilled dreams, and to ultimately to ruin. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, you can say, well, Brother Tim, that's Old Testament. That's Proverbs and Genesis. Okay, we're going to rank New Testament time. Paul says here, he says, for when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he. If she will not work, neither shall she. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. In other words, they weren't doing anything. Not working at all, but are busybodies. Here we go again with the devil's playground. If you're not filling your heart, your mind, your life with activity that's building up your family, then you're ultimately in a position to do what? A busybody, if you go back and read through the Bible and study what the word busybody means, means somebody who's getting in everybody else's business. It's a gossip. They say stuff, tell stuff that they have no business telling. It may be true, it may be false, but they don't care. They just find an ear that will listen and they begin to talk. And that can mean men too, not just women. Amen? Not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are Such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and they eat their own, what? Their own bread. Paul was saying this, work is a blessing. It's not a curse. It's a blessing that God gave us to be able to support ourselves, our families, our communities, and most importantly, God's church and the work and the ministries of the church. Let me just say it this way. If nobody worked, that was a member of Wigan Baptist Church. That would mean that ultimately, before long, nobody would have anything to give. And if nobody gave, then what would eventually happen to Wigan Baptist Church? Let me tell you what I've seen personally as a pastor. People quit giving. One of the first things happens, the ministries of the church start getting axed. Stop paying the man to mow the yard, somebody to clean the church, that's out. Ministries are gone. Can't do outreach, can't do VBS, can't do this, can't do that, because nobody's giving. Electricity's, well, insurance is going to get cut first, generally. Insurance cut, electricity cut, water cut, and the doors are locked. You see, God has given us the ability to work, to be able to provide for not only our own needs and the needs of our families, but also to the needs of the church and to those outside of the church. That's how you do ministry, right? You meet the needs of people. That's what Jesus did. That's what in the book of Acts the disciples did. They did that. But when we have the wrong work or the wrong view of work, we dishonor God's plan for us. In the end of the day, or at the end of the day, we can't sleep because we're not tired, because we haven't done anything. Can I simply say this? Proverbs is a book of wisdom. But as you read through here and you look at what laziness is, number one, it's unwise. It's unwise. If Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and Solomon is telling us that it is unwise to be lazy, right? It's unwise. But it is also unhealthy. It's unhealthy for us. It's unrewarding. And most importantly, it's ungodly. This is not on the screen, so I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn to it in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is giving a list of how we can walk in wisdom with the Lord and the attitudes that come along with it. But listen to what Paul says here to the church. Ephesians 4:28, he says these words. No wonder I'm not in the wrong one. Ephesians 4:28. He says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him do what?
Labor.
Working with his what?
Hands.
What is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. He said, well, I'm not a thief. We're going to talk more about that tonight, but have you ever rode the clock? Ever had somebody punch in or punch out for you when you weren't there? Ever took something that wasn't yours? If they ever paid you, you didn't tell them about the mistake and have them correct it? I mean, there's all kinds of things that we're going to talk about tonight as far as work and how we should act and react. But here again, the purpose of what Paul is saying is, listen, work, you labor so that you have something to give. Not only back to God, but to those who have need. Because in the end, we find reward when we do the will of God. When we're working with our hands and providing for our needs, we find satisfaction in that. But somebody who won't work because they're just too lazy to do so, man, it is unwise. It's unhealthy. Dishonors God because He has created all of us with a plan and purpose. And the very first purpose we see in Genesis, as we talked about earlier, is that God, when He created Adam, He didn't say, okay, you can spend the rest of your life fishing. Spend the rest of your life hunting. He said, no, very first thing, I want you to get out there and tend the garden. Keep it up. I planted it. All you got to do is keep it up, right? Name some animals. Not just some whole bunch. Name them. God gave Adam a job. God's given us the ability to work, to gain, to move forward, to have something for us, but also for others. And the Bible's full of illustrations where they left an inheritance. What are we leaving for our kids? Spiritual and financial. What are we leaving for them? I know this is one of those messages that you say, well, how in the world do you give an invitation after that? I don't know, but I'm going to try. If the Lord's dealt with you about something today, then I pray that you'll just be obedient to Him. Are you doing the work that God has given you to do? Are not just here, but as a Christian? Because God has called all of us to be workers in His field. Amen. We are to pray for that end, that God would send laborers into the field to work. So we see it in a physical sense that God has created us to work, but He's also saved us to be harvesters. Amen. We're to go out and work. What are we doing to fulfill the ministry that God has called us to? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I know this is one of these difficult type messages. One that many would probably stay away from. But Lord, I pray that you just use it today for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would just challenge us in our walk with you. That Lord, as we work, Lord, we know that Lord, we're fulfilling one of the purposes that you have created us for. Lord, to be busy. To be busy about your work. Even Jesus spoke those same words when he was in the temple. Asking his parents, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? Lord, are we mindful of that? Are we carrying out our Lord and Savior's business here on earth? Are we bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus in everything we do and everything we say, the way we work, our attitudes at work? Lord, how are we showing the world that you matter to us and that we are doing our best to live for you? Lord, I pray that whatever decisions we need to make today, Lord, that we do so. Lord, if it's for salvation, I pray that we would give our hearts and lives to you. Whether it's a decision we need to make today regarding, Lord, whatever you have dealt with us today about our work issues, Lord, I pray that we would resolve them. And Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in all that we do and all that we say. Lord, have your way as only you can. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.